So one of the most prevalent ways of conserving species in situ and protecting habitat areas is through the system of national parks. And many, many, many countries have systems of national parks. Actually, there's a list there on the right-hand side of the countries that have conserved the greatest proportion, the top 10 that have conserved the greatest proportion of their land area in national parks. And actually, the U.S. is number 106, I think. We only have 3.4% of our land in national parks. And as you can see on the map on the left-hand side, despite the U.S. being such a very, very large country, we actually have very small a quantity of land set aside in national parks, despite those parks being pretty well managed. If you count all the kinds of protected areas in the United States, we have about 14% of our land area in protection. So still not great. Anyway, in terms of national parks, they have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, of course, national parks are decreed by the government, and they are often very large areas. And so large is good because they're oftentimes able to protect large-bodied animals like predators and, really provide ecosystem services, watershed protection, and other things that can provide bigger benefits, not just to the nature, but to people. And because they're decreed by legally by the government, they are often quite effective in the long term. They remain around for a very long time. Now, that's not always the case in particular, and that's one of the weaknesses as well, is that they're subject to political whim. Before we move to weaknesses, though, there are also the strengths that parks provide a lot of economic opportunity. They generate revenue through tourism, and they also provide jobs in management of the park. Weaknesses, of course, again, the subject to political whim. In many countries, it's just a matter of a stroke of a pen for a leader to reverse a national park designation. They chronically lack funding in general. They're almost always underfunded. And oftentimes, that leads to scarce enforcement, which, frankly, is practically leading to the park being a useless thing that's just on paper. If you can't enforce the laws that are set up to protect the species within the park really just exists on paper alone and doesn't do anything for conservation. So, in fact, it can often just give you a false sense of security that we're doing something great, but in fact, it's not very effective. And of course, parks can lead to both economic and social conflicts. They take land out of production, oftentimes things like mining and timber harvesting and oil exploration and farming are prohibited in parks, and so they can present an economic trade-off for the communities that set them up, for the governments that set them up. And of course, that can also lead to social conflicts when people are pushed out of park boundaries and have to go find their livelihoods elsewhere. Increasingly, parks, particularly small ones, are being questioned in their ability to continue to protect the species and ecosystems they were set up to protect in the face of climate change. Obviously, parks have static boundaries, and species and ecosystems are going to have to move as the climate changes.